know this, you may not, but today is Good Shepherd Sunday in the church calendar. Good Shepherd Sunday. And every Good Shepherd Sunday, the psalm is Psalm 23. So even though we have a three-year cycle in the lectionary, every year on Shepherd Sunday, Psalm 23 comes up as the psalm. And then the Gospel, John 10, also is a part of Good Shepherd Sunday. I want to say that when we think about Good Shepherd, let's remember that in the culture that Jesus lived in, shepherds were not high on the totem pole of professions. And so just remember that when we think shepherd, don't go Hallmark card shepherd right away. Instead, think ordinary, blue-collar, hard-working person. And one phrasing I saw this week was, instead of Jesus the Good Shepherd, think of Jesus as the model migrant worker, an ordinary worker, but a good worker, and one who's responsible and takes care of the sheep. I also want us to frame this morning, as we go into the Word and our time in the Word, with reminding us that we're still in the season of Easter. Today's the 22nd day of our 50-day season of Easter. So we still have lots of days, 28 days left, to live the resurrection. And we've talked about that being living in resurrection wonder, sharing in resurrection meals, and embracing resurrection friends. And I've had a couple of great stories even this past week of people who've been sharing how they've been gathering for meals and enjoying the blessings of simply carving out time in their schedules to share in a meal with a friend, a neighbor, maybe someone new in the community. So I'd remind you to keep on looking, look around, and gather people for a meal, or take a step further into a resurrection friendship, or take some time for Sabbath and enjoy the wonder of resurrection. I want to set the stage also this morning by saying, look out! Look out! When I say look out, I'm not saying warning, look out. I'm saying look out. Look outward. In a culture that's so filled with looking inward, one of the challenges I want to give you this morning is look out. And I also want to think about laying down. Lay down. Look out. Lay down. Lay down your lives. In a culture that's so bent on living it up, I want us to reflect this morning on what it might be for us to lay down. Look out. Lay down. Kind of reminds me of my grade 7 football practices. We'd be sitting there shuffling our hands, and our coach, look out, lay down, stand up. But look out, lay down. How do those phrases embrace you this morning? Because we live in a world that really pushes us to look inward and to live it up. But what might it be for us as a people this morning, as we walk through the Word, as we worship together, to look out and lay down? Jesus' words invite us to a pretty different view, don't they? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who's not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And then in verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I'd like to camp out on these verses, on verse 16, just for a few minutes. So if you have your Bible still open, maybe you'll camp out there with me. Verse 16, the first part where Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. This is the look out feel for this verse. What does it mean for us to invite or embrace the other sheep who do not belong to this fold? Well, I had a aha moment this week. I'm still trying to process this one a bit, but I was talking to a ministry colleague in the city, and I was sharing about First Baptist's mission statement to seek the peace and well-being of the city. And he reminded me that living out that statement might not be all about just getting more people into the pews. So that took me a bit by surprise. He said it would be relatively easy to create a consumer church where we get 400 or 500 people in the pews in our building on a Sunday, but really, he thought that we'd simply be getting sheep from other congregations who are just in this limited pool making the circulation through the city, trying to find the best show in the city. I'm still thinking on that, but I'm thinking that, yeah, well, to bring in other sheep then just doesn't mean we're going to figure out the next program or the next worship style that's going to get more people in the building because they're not feeling like they like their old church. So let's humbly try to talk about what does it mean to look out and to invite and embrace the other sheep. And I think when we honestly take some time to pray and to reflect through what it means to invite and embrace those who do not belong to this fold, I think it primarily has to do with the word belong or belonging. And maybe you're the kind of person who gets that word pretty quickly. Just intuitively, you're that welcoming person. You're always finding a place for people in your life. You're trusting, you're generous, you're understanding, and you're just that kind of person that knows how to help people to belong. Good on ya. I think that's great. But some of us, I think, have a harder time for whatever reason. Maybe we're ministry kids. Maybe we're pastor's kids, or maybe we're missionary kids, and we've spent our whole life where our parents have made places of belonging for other people. And for some reason, we got left out. And so when we think about belonging, it actually traumatizes us, and we've gone through years of counseling to actually get over that whole thing. But, you know, just some of us have different backgrounds where belong might not be as natural a word for you. Or maybe you've just come from a quieter, more controlled family environment that just wasn't really into that. And that's okay, too. But I do want to say that I think no matter what our background is, as the people of God, as the people of faith in this community, this season at First Edmonton, I think God would invite us to think of ways that we might create places for people to belong. And I think when we say belong, I think we also just mean, how can we help people feel welcome? This is not as easy as we might think, because I think there's thousands of people in Edmonton today who would look at a church and maybe First Baptist Church, and not think welcome and belonging when they thought of our church. So I think we've got a lot of work. The challenge is big. And so maybe it's no surprise that before verse 16 in today's gospel, in chapter 10, Jesus talks about laying down your life. Because this is going to be a sacrificial work. God, help us. But there's more than just belonging when it comes to being a community of faith that follows Jesus. And even in today's bulletin, you'll notice a denominational insert that talks about belong, believe, become. And you can read more about what the denomination is saying about those words. But I'd just like to skip over the believe word and just hop into the become section for this morning. We want to create places of belonging and becoming. And in the second part of verse 16, Jesus says, "They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." And I'd like to ask us this morning, how do we endeavor to become one flock with one shepherd? I think as we invite people to places of belonging in our lives, when we invite people to belong to our conversations or belong to our community of faith or belong to our dinner tables, I think one thing that we can offer them in addition to belonging is a place to listen to the voice of God through Jesus, to listen to a God who speaks. And as they listen and as they find authentic community amongst us, there will be one flock with one shepherd. And though this oneness has a feel-good tone to it, I'm not just talking about us all becoming clones, not becoming a clone flock. I'm talking about us becoming one flock with one shepherd. And if you know the history of Baptists, then you'll know that it's in our DNA as a people of faith to be a diverse people who say we find our unity under one Lord. So I think we've got that going for us, in that we're not expecting everyone to believe like us or look like us or feel like us or journey like us, but we do recognize that there is a oneness because of one Lord and one shepherd and one flock. It's a big challenge. And I can just hear some of the voices amongst us, and even myself, saying, well, if we let everyone belong here and if we create this place of welcome, what if she or he dot, dot, dot? Or what if we make a welcoming place for these people and they dot, dot, dot? I don't know how it works. And that's why I affirm that Christianity is a messy journey. And Christian community is messy. Have you ever been in a sheep barn? It's smelly. It's noisy. It's somewhat interesting. It's full of life and headbutting.
Welcome to the church.
It's a beautiful mess. Jesus says, they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Jesus promises us unity as we listen to him, as we allow him to unite us, as we allow Jesus to form us, as we allow him to love us. And I was thinking this week, is this not the mind-blowing story of the gospel and being a gospel-shaped community? That messy, broken, diverse, rich, poor, etc., you name it, kind of people might listen to God, the Good Shepherd, and they might lay down their lives sacrificially, create places of belonging for all walks of life in Edmonton, so that we might become one flock with one shepherd. I'm going to close with a Season of Easter quote that talks more about this new world we're called to create. It's from N.T. Wright, and he quotes, "Jesus is raised, therefore God's new world has begun. And therefore we, you, and everybody else are invited to be not only beneficiaries of that new world, but participants in making it happen. We, you, and everybody else are invited to be not only beneficiaries of that new world, but participants in making it happen." So as we close in prayer today, as we even reflect on our time at the table of the Lord this morning, two quick challenges. One is, during our moment of silent prayer, pray that God might show you that one person today or this week or that one family that you might invite to belong to your world or this community of faith. And then secondly, if you've got some people that you feel like are belonging in your community, people that are walking with you through life, maybe you might just push further into conversation about what it means to become someone who apprentices to Jesus. Or maybe it's even more general than that, just someone who wants to converse about faith, this God that you profess. So as you pray this week, maybe the Spirit will speak to you about that one person, two people, that family that you might invite to belong. You know, we still have room to have people in our pews, so we can grow. I'm not against that on a Sunday morning. Really, we're just inviting people to belong to our lives. and then talking with them about what it means to become believers in God, apprentices to Jesus, so that we might become one flock with one shepherd. A moment of silent prayer, and then I'll close with a prayer, and then we'll continue our journey to the table of the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. Living God, we pray blessings on those names and those faces that are even moving through our hearts and our minds right now as we pray. Help us create places for those people to belong this week, this month. And then help us talk about this real faith that we have in a living God, through Jesus, who leads us to be, in this messy community, a people who can say we're one flock with one shepherd. Thanks be to God. Amen.